who's Professor of Department of Sanskrit Studies in University of Hyderabad. I invite brother to come and occupy his seat on the stage. His teachings and research interests include Darshana and Ayurveda in particular and Indian psychology in general. And can we welcome brother? Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And he has published over 25 plus papers in reputed journals and is also planning to come up with a book series in Indian psychology and Ayurveda in Sanskrit. So today he's going to speak about impact of food on thoughts. So over to Brother Prasad. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Respected brothers and sisters. I feel very happy to meet you all. Normally, we professors get post-lunch session in seminars and conferences, which is very boring, both for the speaker and the audience. But I'm very thankful to our brother, B.K. Balakrishnanji, for giving me this session. I think we had a nice dinner. We were able to ponder over what exactly you mean by food, and how this affects human health, and how it also affects the thought process. This is what actually I would like to present from an ancient perspective, that is especially the Ayurveda, because all the texts in Ayurveda have been written in Sanskrit only. So we have been working in this area the last couple of years, could able to derive some insights on this topic. Straight away, I'm going to the presentation. Entire world is made up of five gross elements. They are called Pancha Mahabhutas. Prithvi, Ap, Tejas, Vayu, Akasha. These are the Pancha Mahabhutas. Normally, I think most of us are aware, or some of us are not aware, what you exactly mean by Bhutas. Because Bhuta word is really problematic. But when I translate these terms into the carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, ozone and all, then I think it's very easy for us to understand what exactly they mean to say. Because when these things are depleted in the body, we supplement externally by taking a prescription, right? This is what we are doing. So Pancha Mahabhutas are nothing but these things. That way, when you look at from this perspective, it makes more sense. And the Nidra, Ahara and Brahmacharya. These three things are very, very crucial in one's life. Nidra is in fact prescribed in Ayurveda that there is no specific injunction that you should sleep only for 8 hours or you should sleep for 6 hours also. No, it's not like that. Even some people can sleep for 4 hours, they will feel still fresh. And somebody may be sleeping for 9 hours or so, still feeling lethargic after waking up. All that thing depends. So depending on the constitution and the time that we sleep, that affects one's sleep more. Normally, the Brahmahi Mahurta, early morning, 1.5 hours before the sunrise, is prescribed as the best time to wake up, whichever time you go to bed. And The food is, anyway, we are going to discuss about that. Then the celibacy Brahmacharya. I think most of us are aware what you mean by Brahmacharya. Being a house dweller also, we can be maintaining our celibacy. That is how our Krishna, Lord Krishna, is known as Ajanma Brahmachari. And what is the prescription for good health? If this is the question, then there is a very good shloka, verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yukta Ahara Viharasya, Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu, Yukta Sapnava Bodhasya, Yogo Bhavati Dukkaha. I think some of us are aware of this. What exactly it means is, Yukta Ahara Viharasya, the one who is following the prescribed Yukta Ahara and Vihara. Vihara is outing, Ahara is the food that we consume. Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu, the actions that he performs are prescribed as per the scriptures. He or she won't violate at any time these things. Then, Yukta Sapnavabodhasya. Sapna in the sense, sapna is sleep. Sapna is not exactly dream. So, Yukta Sapnavabodhasya. One who wakes up at a prescribed time. Yogo bhavati dukkaha. This yoga becomes so comfortable. And dukkha, it removes the dukkha also. Dukkaha, it removes the dukkha. Now we come to the actual point. What you mean by food? So, food basically nourishes the seven tissues as per Ayurveda. Rasa, Rakta, Mamsa, Majja, Asti, Shukra. These are the seven tissues in the body. Rather, chyle, blood, bone marrow, bone, etc. All these are in the modern terminology. Then it is also nourishes the two sheets that are told in the Upanishads. That there are five sheets, pancha koshas they are called. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha and anandamaya kosha. They are the five koshas which in fact which have a greater significance in human life. For example, if you take the annamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha is responsible for all the food that we consume and that we that may be in the form of drinkables, lickables, etc. And pranamaya kosha is the vital energy point. And it goes on further till the anandamaya kosha. Anandamaya kosha is the last stage, the ultimate supreme bliss. In these two sheets, food has a greater role. So, and unfortunately, we cannot prove these sheets using an instrument. Like scientifically, we cannot prove them. That like the chakras are in the body. Muladhara, Swadhisthana kind of chakras are there. Similarly, these things cannot be accessible through equipment like MRI and all. Then, food is considered to be the medicine. It is also called Mahabhaishajya, the greatest medicine. I have a slide for that. Then, Anna is Brahman. Annam Brahmeti Vijanath. Again, Upanishad says. Annam itself is Brahma. That is why they say, Annam Nanindyat. I should not denounce the food, because itself is a Parabrahma Rupa. All living beings are dependent on Anna. Then whatever is absorbed through senses is also food. This is very, very, very important, because we have five cognitive senses, five motor senses. Through cognitive senses, we absorb the objectual experiences. What happens is, let us say, somebody is doing fasting. He is in Upavasa. His nose is going around the smells that are being coming out from the kitchen. And somebody is actually talking about a nice food that is being cooked at home. So his mind is roaming around those things. In fact, he is not fasting at all. That is also food. Because you are consuming these things, vishayas, through your indriyas. So that is very important. Don't think that just because I am, you know, doing a penance, I'm able to reap the benefit. It's wrong. Then mental and physical health depends on food and feed alone. Now, how many times a day, if there is a question, Sayam Pratar Manushyanam Asharam Shruti Bodhitam, morning and evening. Morning in the sense, not exactly 8 o'clock or like that. Whenever you feel good. In fact, Ayurveda never tells that you should have breakfast at 8 a.m. So lunch at 1 p.m. and you have dinner at 8 p.m. also. Whenever you feel hungry, you eat. Whenever you feel thirsty, you drink water. That's it. So, what else we require? Whenever we require, whenever we are in the requirement of some food or water, that's it. We just have it. Then consumption of incompatible food is the prime cause in context of mental disorders. I have a slide on psychosis. There is a very good quotation here. Pathyasati gadartasya kimaushada nishevanam. The other side of that image says that sense. Pathye sati gadartasya kimaushada nishevanam. When someone is taking care of his food, medicines are not required. Pathye asati. Pathye sati, when you are maintaining the diet. Padhi asati, when you are not maintaining your diet properly, gadartasya kimaushada nishevanam, medicine can't help in both cases. So, pathya, is very, very important. The diet regimen is very important. So one should take care of these things cautiously. And nacha ahara samam kinchit bhaishajyam upalabhyate. This is the greatest version, Kashyapasthis and Kashyapasamhita. And shikyate tanna matrena naraha kartu niramaya. Just by food alone, one can be treated properly. No medicine is required. That is the meaning of this shloka. Yeah. Here, how food affects our thoughts, and accordingly, it may generate a kind of disease or debility in the body. This is the point here. Here, what they say is, old ghee older than 10 years, which is known as Purana Ghritam, is good in the cases of psychosis and all. And also it increases the intelligence and the memory. Then, medicinal compositions in psychosis make use of food items like garlic, hing and all. These are some list is there. Then, a person who does not consume meat and alcohol and eats only beneficial diet, who is cautious, pious, hygienic and with good mental strength, does not get affected by psychosis. So, I started my presentation with the impact of food on thoughts. But how this is going to be taken, you can just observe. Because the scriptures give these insights, how food affects one's mind. In fact, this is not my idea. There is a great person called Dr. B.M. Hegde. He used to tell all the time these things. When the mind is pleased, you are happy, there is no diabetes. When you are hating someone, you are prone to be get a diabetic. Then when you hate someone, it goes up further. When you hate someone again, apart from the diabetes, maybe there may be carcinogenic effect in the body. Then when you're angry on someone, you get hypertension. So do we require all this really? So we have to ask ourselves whether we love the other or hate. Today morning, respected Shivani Didi was telling about these things. And one of the sisters was telling that my boss says that you're aggressive. Yes? We have to deal with all this. So all the mental functioning is governed by the food. In order to mind your mind, then you have to mind your food. Now I come to a very important concept called the food that is Trigunatmaka in nature. I think all of us are aware what I mean by saying Triguna. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. These are the Trigunas. Entire creation is not devoid of these trigunas. As we speak of Tridosha in Ayurveda, similarly, we speak of trigunas in Indian philosophy. In that sense, food is also trigunatmaka. Here, the food is classified into three categories, sattvika, rajasika, and tamasika. The sattvika food is nourishing, and nourishing certain traits like joy, contentment and enlightenment. And there is a very good saying in Upanishads, Ahara Shuddhav Sapta Shuddhi, Sapta Shuddhav Dhruva Smritihi. What it means is, when you take a clean food, pure food, Ahara Shuddhi is there, then Sapta Shuddhi, Sattam is mind here. Sattam is mind. Sapta is also pure. When the food is pure, your thoughts are also pure. That is how the food influences the mind. What happens further is, Sapta Shuddhav Dhruva Smritihi, we contemplate upon ourselves, we reflect upon ourselves. That contemplation, reflection, again based on the Sapta Shuddhi. Unless your mind is pure, you cannot contemplate and reflect on yourself. That is how there is a greater impact of food on thoughts. So these are the items that are endowed with the sattva. Now we come to the rajasika food. The rajasika, in fact, we know sattva is purity, rajasika is activity, sattva is intelligence, rajasika is restlessness, kind of traits are attributed to these things. So here the food rajasikas like basically is that brings into the desire, aggression, and jealousy. Again, this is another problem. I think most of us are, to be frank, are Rajasikas. We have to promote ourselves to be a Sattvika. And food helps us to be a Sattvika. And these are the items. These are a few items I have actually listed over there. But many things are there in the list which actually gives, enriches the Rajasika trait. Now we come to the third one, that is Tamasika. The person who is Tamasika in nature likes these kind of food, the fermented foods, the stale foods. There are nice slokas that are given in Gita. Yata yamam gatarasam puti paryushitancha yat uchishtam api chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. This is how a Tamasika person likes the kind of food which brings in these self qualities: grief, depression, fear, withdrawn behavior, and lethargy. And basically, the quality itself is inertia in nature. The Tamasika quality is inertia. The people are inert naturally. That is how they like these kind of foods. So, in order to avoid these things, a Tamasika person should promote himself or herself to be Rajasika. Then a Rajasika person should promote himself or herself to be Sattvika. Then only we will achieve our goal. Now, in case of digestion, indigestion cases, this Purva Rupas means the what you call the etiology in Ayurveda. Purva Rupa, Nidana, Purva Rupa, Rupa, Upashaya and Samprapti. These are the five pathological factors in Ayurveda. In psychosis, indigestion is one of the Purva Rupa. So one should avoid this kind of foods in order to be not getting afflicted with this kind of diseases. Yes. Let me go. Why actually, there is a relation. One of you can ask me, why you are actually telling up more about food, but you told that food will influence the thought. But most of the psychological diseases, for a long time, they influence the physiological diseases. And physiologically, when you are feeling sickness or illness, and you are diseased, that affects your mind. There is a affinity between these two. That is how the Mahabharata says, Dividho jayate vyathihi shariro manasastatha parasparam tayojanma nirdvandvam nopalabhyate. They speak of psychosomatic and somatopsychic diseases in Mahabharata Adipa Shanti Parva. So there is a connection between these two that we need to underline. So I would like to ask, do you do this? Do you suppress your hunger at workplace? Sometimes? Do you feel good? No. Then I think you should stop doing so, because this is one of the natural urges that is being suppressed in Ayurveda. 30 natural urges are there, like hunger, thirst, passing on stools, urination, even tears, sneezing, vomit. All these things are all the natural urges. One should not stop at all. When you are stopping your hunger, what happens is, I think, there was some editing and slide is missing. You will be feeling a lot of debility in the body. It gives rise to a lot of diseases. And you need to undergo some panchakarma kind of treatment in order to come out from the problems that we have created ourselves. So better not to suppress hunger. Whenever you feel hungry, you just have your food. That is what the Ayurveda says. So here, what is the balance of diet? There is a very good description given by the Charaka and Charaka Samhita. Let me read out this shloka. Shashtikan Shalimudgan Saindhava Amarkayavan Antariksham Payas Sarpim Sarpi Jangalam Adishabhisit Tachanityam Prayinjita Swastam Tena Yena Anuvartate Ajatana Vikaranam Anutpatikarancha Yet. I mean to say these things from the shloka. All these things have been described in the shloka, and these things are nothing but these things. Rice, barley are nothing but the carbohydrates. Then the green gram gives us the protein. Then the ghee is fat. Like this. This is what actually they have been speaking for ages and ages together. So when something is written in Sanskrit, don't think that it is something obsolete. It has a purpose. Still, it has a contemporary relevance. Then, you know, wholesome food is the fuel that maintains the agni, because there are 13 data types of agnis are there in the body. Metabolic fires, pancha mahabhuta agnis and seven dhatu agnis, and then jatra agni, the digestional fire. Together, they promote the metabolism, digestion in the body. And what they give is the vitality, complexion and acuity of the sense organs. When sense organs are working properly, and your thinking faculty works properly. When you are thinking properly, you act properly. Because whatever you think, that you speak. Whatever you speak, that you act upon. There is a connection between all this. And food is the primordial factor in this context.
Doctor?
Yeah. Please. Yes. Yeah. I could not listen to the last sentence. Okay. Yeah. Sure. True. Sure, I will tell you. See, the thing is, garlic and onion, they promote the Rajasika trait. Because each and every herb in Ayurveda is endowed with a certain rasa, which is called taste. So these six tastes are there, and they have five kinds of potencies: rasa, guna, virya, vipaka, and prabhava. I don't know how we can translate. Guna is the quality, and virya is the potency. Vipaka is the post-metabolic effect. Then prabhava is the action, how a drug acts on certain things. So based on that, they classified these things into Rajasika, Tamasika and Sattvika categories. So what happens is, when you consume these kind of things, that will definitely increase that right in you. So they are categorized, and we cannot prove that how they categorize. For example, Shishruta speaks of a lot of anatomy. We don't know how we actually could able to understand the human body. How many macro channels are in the body, how many vital organs are there, and how many bones are in the body. All these things he spoke almost accurately, that is available in the modern science.
So this is 100% correct. If we do not stop taking onion, garlic or things like this, we can not stop our desire. This is 100% correct. There is no exception to that. Is it true?
Exactly. That's what I would like to say. Maybe at the end of the presentation, probably you will get more clarity. I promise.
Sorry, I did not understand what?
No, at the end of the presentation, probably you will get more clarity.
Okay.
That's what I assume. So there are these are the tastes.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just have a question. I'm absolutely okay what you're saying, because I know some part of Ayurveda and it's absolutely written there. And I have seen some effects also by observation on people, the way they follow the diet and way their reactions and the way. It was just part of observation what I observed. Maybe I'm not 100% correct.
No.
But one thing I wanted to understand from you, in the diet industry, I was more interested in knowing about diet because of overweight. That's why I always researched on this. Half of the dietitians or who are the masters in that field, they claim that you should have this and this, so else you should have that protein, so and so, otherwise you will lack in. There are, I have seen some of the people, they were lacking vitamin B12 just because of their vegetarians.
Yes.
So when we portray one thing in one direction,
yes, sir,
saying that, so this is this.
Hmm.
So the layman gets into a total confusion.
Mm-hmm.
These people are saying this and these people are saying what are we need to follow. So I think that needs to be addressed. I'm asking from everybody's perspective.
True, I agree.
Because it should not, situation should never happen that people land up in confusion rather than going on the right path.
Confusion, the sense, all yeah. depends whether we go with the tradition or we go with the modernity. Modernity has some problems, all of us are aware of that, as you mentioned rightly, and that gives rise to a kind of confusion. In ancient insights, the problem is most of the times you cannot prove as it is, because in science what you do is a scientific method. You measure, you observe, what else? You do experiment, right? These kind of things you do in science. We don't know how actually they could able to derive this knowledge, probably based on intuition, because that materia medica, when they say Dravya Guna Vijnana, each and every drug is actually described. They spoke of thousands of herbs, and now hardly we are using 250 or so in Ayurveda, and we don't know how actually they were able to explain the potency, the qualities, all these drugs. They did not have any kind of, you know, labs and all. So I don't, there is one thing. Second thing is, yes, again that belief works out. Because I studied Sanskrit, I could rely on Ayurvedic knowledge. That is one thing. Second thing is, I have my own self-experience. Experiences are individual. We need to, we cannot generalize in fact. That way, in fact, this is a difficult question, but still we need to make a balance between these two things. For example, some of the diseases in modern medicine, they don't have an answer. For, you take jaundice, they give leaf 52. Leaf 52 is Ayurvedic herb, they're not allopathic. I'm sorry, the biomedicine, allopathy, the word is not, sorry, Dr. Anand is there. So, it's a little derogatory. So, these are the things happening from Ayurvedic side. For chronic problems, you have all the answers from Ayurvedic perspective. For emergency care, you don't have any answer in Ayurveda. That is why I think we should go some integrative approach. Then only the holistic thing comes up. I think that is how I see the thing now.
But there might be a few case studies which would have happened on food.
Yeah.
That can prove something. There should be something.
Yeah, yeah, they are doing. In fact, yeah. All the BM students, when they join for the MD and all, what they do is, each and every MD student has to do a project. Their dissertation is consisting a study on certain herb, the clinical effects of certain herbs. And they prove it using the modern equipment, what you call GC, EMC or TLC, whatever equipment you name, no? That way, they do all these things. Even in my own department, sometime back, we have worked on this. Fermentation techniques in ancient India. We have taken a concept called Sura in Arthashastra, and we could able to prepare a Sura purely based on herbal ingredients. And that is called Meshashrungi. So, that depends, in fact. Any other questions? Can I go ahead? Yeah. Please. Garlic is medicine. The thing is, Ayurveda never bothers about Dharma Shastra. What we talk about is, our sister was asking the same question. How can you classify this as Rajasika? Ayurveda never bothers about, even Ayurveda prescribes meat soup. For a non-vegetarian, how could able to cope up with this problem? They have a substitution over there. Instead of meat soup, you take the, what is that, Udadal soup. So that there is a substitution and it takes the same qualities and, you know, traits. So there are some, they are called Abhava Pratinidhi Dravyas. If one certain thing is missing there, we cannot able to get it. Then you substitute with other thing, like Brahmi and some other. Brahma is not missing, you take some other herb. So that is how I think things took place over the ages. Because Ayurveda is at least some 2 to 3,000 years old. It's not hardly, the modern medicine is 300 years old, if I'm not wrong. And these are the six pastes. Madhura, Amla, Lavana, Katu, Kashaya, and Tipta. And these have a greater impact on our food and also on doshas. Ayurveda speaks of the constitution, prakriti, vata, pitta and kapha. And there are seven phenotypes of this, vata, pitta, kapha, Vata Kapha, Pitta Kapha, Hatha Kapha, then the Sama, the seventh one. So phenotypes are there. So these phenotypes are influenced by the rasas. For example, the Vata constitution person may consume rightly the sweet, the salt and amla, that is sour ingredients. That is perfectly okay for the person. It is not same with the Pitta person or the Kapha person. That is how the rasas also have a greater role in one's health, and also accordingly these are the things. Individual effect is sweet pacifies the vata and pitta, but increases kapha in the body. If you are a kapha prakriti person, don't consume sweet ingredients. I think most of us are fond of eating sweets, right? But if you are found to be a kapha prakriti person, you please limit your consumption of sweets. Like this, the sour, saline, pungent, astringent, bitter, they can go. For example, let me take my own case. I am a vata kapha person. In any human being, normally two constitutions are there. One of them is predominant, like sattva, rajas and tamas. In all human beings, you have the three gunas, but one of them is predominant over the two, other two, right? Similarly, here also, my prakriti is vata prakriti. So for me, eating sweets is good. And also, the saline food is good for me. And also, foods that are sour in nature, also good for me. Yeah, that is a good question. In fact, we have to find out from our physician, or maybe probably you can also go through some material. That helps us a lot. We have to do observe on ourselves. Which prakriti I can belong to. These are my habits, these are my likes, this is my so-and-so. Accordingly, we can go to the theory and we can choose. And there are a lot of questionnaires, there are a lot of software available in YouTube also. And you can watch those videos and software can be downloaded. Accordingly, you can fix up your constitution. But it is not so easy. The person who is preparing the questionnaire should have been very meticulous to prepare, incorporate all the data where you can able to know your own prakriti based on that given data. So that depends. Yeah. Sorry, sir.
Yeah, I just was telling that B plus B minus B P K. What
yeah,
is that?
This is, abbreviated them. As I said, there are three prakritis in human beings, vata, pitta and kapha. Vata is the wind element in the human body, pitta is the fire element, and the kapha is the watery element. And they are responsible for different actions in the body. For example, vata is responsible for all the catabolic actions in the body, pitta is for the metabolic actions, third one is kapha is for the anabolic actions. This is briefly the thing about the prakritis. And when you consume the items that are sweet in nature, if you are a vata prakriti person like me, it is good for vata and pitta, but kapha person should not consume sweets. That means not at all, up to some extent is okay. It should not become habitual to one to continuously consuming these things. Am I being clear, sir? Yeah. So these are the eight parameters, the desired impact of food. What are those? Here they are. Prakriti karana, prakriti svabhava. For example, the green gram is heavy in nature. Based on our prakriti, we need to decide whether we should eat it or not. For example, if I take my own case, I should not go for, it is heavy in nature, so that it is not giving good digestion for me. Accordingly, we have to develop the theory. Based on our own constitution, we have to think about the food that we consume. Then the karana is about the refinement of the dravya. This is called samskara, gunantara, adhana, samskara, dese. And these properties are imparted by contact of water and fire. By cleansing, churning, infusing, steeping, etc. And also by the medium used for the storage or processing. In the olden days, they used to cook in earthen pot and also these silver vessels are being used for the eating silver plates. Then, the bronze vessels are also there. The what is called pitala, bronze. What you say? Bronze. Bronze is also, yeah. Kansa is bronze. And these actually, they give a lot of effect when you use in the cooking. In fact, our Indian kitchen itself is a medical shop. We need to go to any doctor because all the rich ingredients are there available right in front of us, like haldi, ajwain, all these kind of things. So, this is about the karana. Then the sanyoga, honey and ghee should not be mixed. This is called viruddhahara in Ayurveda. That gives reverse potency so that there is a imbalance in the doshas and causes disease accordingly. Then, fish and milk should not be eaten together, something like that. There is a big list like this. And rashi quantity is also very important. In fact, as per Dharma Shastras, they say that for a house ruler, gruhastha, you have to eat 32 morsels in the afternoon, half of that in the night. Is it possible for us to count those morsels and eat? Nowadays, it is impossible. But as per Dharma Shastra injunctions, they say something like that. But Ayurveda, as I said previously, it never bothers about any Dharma Shastra. It only bothers about human health and physiology. That's it. Then the desha, if you go to Kerala, they use a lot of coconut oil for cooking. If you go to Bihar and kind of places, they use mustard oil. I cannot use mustard oil in my place, Andhra Pradesh. If a similarly person from Kerala, I cannot use groundnut oil like I use in Andhra Pradesh. So that is called desha satya. They become habitual to those things. Accordingly, they use those things in their cooking and all. And kala is time, suitable to seasons and all. And this kala is also a condition that does not get treated within a specific duration becomes incurable. When you are treating a disease, it is not in sakala. And it becomes incurable. This is also an important factor in this. And upayoga samstha denotes the rules for dieting. This depends on the digestive features. Then, the last one is upayokta. Nothing but ourselves, the consumer. The one who consumes the food, on him depends on the oka satya. This satya is translated as habituation, and which is developed by the practice. And some of you can ask, no, some of the things what you are telling may not be right for us, may not be correct with us. In that case, this is the answer. You become habitual to those things so that your body accepts. For example, some of the people in ancient days, they used to take milk with salt. Particularly Saurashtra Desa. Now I think it is Gujarat. I don't know whether now they are following this. But there are some examples are there like this. Then the principles of eating food is, these are very important for us. One should eat warm food, ushna mashniya. It should be hot when you are eating. Then unctuous, this is snigdha. Like the ghee and oil, they are the unctuous in nature. And promote the digestive fire, it gets digested quickly and also it reduces mucus, that is called kapha. Then we should eat unctuous because it tastes well, the food consumed stimulates these things. Now only after the previously consumed food is digested. How many of us do this, sir? So we are ignoring. Totally, we are ignoring this factor. Unless the previous meal is digested, one should not consume the next meal. And there is a injunction. Yama madhye na bhuktavyam, yama yugman na langhayet. Yama is 3 hours, roughly. After having food, within 3 hours, you should not consume food again. And also, yama yugman na langhayet. Okay, the things are digested, should not violate 6 hours. Yama yugmam is 6 hours. So within 6 hours, between 3 to 6 hours, you have to complete your next meal. Unless you are hungry, that is also there. As I told, unless you are hungry, you don't eat. Unless you are thirsty, don't drink water or anything. Now, one should eat food in proper quantity, and quantity is also equally important, and which gives one's lifespan, and easily passes down the bowels and all. These are the qualities that enriches. The food eaten should be non antagonistic. I mean, this atmya, I was telling, habitual. It should not be antagonistic in nature, and we should take four consisting of the items that are asatmya in nature to ensure one is not afflicted with a disorder caused by food that is unsuitable to the individual. And we need to decide which is suitable and unsuitable to our own nature. And then should be consumed in a favorable place. Would you agree with this? How many of you don't agree with this? Place of eating is also having equal importance in maintaining one's health. Anybody disagree with this? Exercise is also like, should not eat in paper plates, like plastic plates and that. In olden days, I used to listen that olden days, they're using leaves, like plantain leaves and all. And also a silver plate with a golden lotus flower within it. So that when you serve the food, when it is hot, it absorbs all the qualities of that. And when you eat inside, the nanoparticles penetrate your blood and your immune system is increasing. That is the purpose of using these things, not to show their pompousness and all. And even the, when we wear the ornaments and all, particularly the ladies in Kerala, they are fond of these things. Particularly in Vishu kind of festivals, they wear a lot of jewelry. The jewelry is not to show off. Jewelry, when you are taking bath on your body, when you put it on the body, the nanoparticles again penetrate. All the shodasa samskaras that we perform to a person in one's lifetime, including the Karna Veda, Jada Karma and all, these have a scientific basis. When your ears are pierced, what happens is, again the same thing is happening, because you are using the golden metal over there, no? These things join the blood directly. It is continuously putting the immunity power. And there is a purpose behind each and every custom in ancient India, and we can say that it has a scientific basis, but in most of the cases, we can assume. And one should not eat too fast, as if you are competing in a race. And one should not eat too slow also. Unless the canteen wala comes and says that, sir, the time is over, I have to clean the vessels, just go out. So until then, should not be eating. They're taking a lot of time. And one should not eat while talking or laughing. This is the biggest impediment in our eating food. Most of us, no dining hall is devoid of this problem, as much as I say. Right? Without noise, I cannot see in dining hall. That is the time we fix up all the kind of discussions and dialogues. Particularly in IT companies, I don't know, where a cup of tea or a chai pe charcha, when you are eating and drinking, you do all these kind of things, which are not good in nature. We will not become satmya to your nature. So that I think we should avoid and increase the quality of the food that we eat. One should eat with full concentration. You should have avadhanam over the food that we are eating. So that you enjoy the meal. You know the quality. You know the taste. And it becomes more assimilated into you easily. These are the things one should also pay attention. Now, I think some few tips actually I have collected. There are so many. But lack of time forced me to give only few. Here, curds. May I ask, how many of you don't like curds? I think very few hands are rising. Doctor, you are also there. I think you are lucky. See, what they are telling about curds is, Nanaktam dadi bhunjita, nachap yaghrata sharkaram, na amudgayusham nakshodram, nosham namalakair vina. What are they saying here is, curd should not be consumed at night. Why? Because it is called abhishyandi. It coats our intestines. That is one thing. Second thing is, the night time is normally predominantly kapha period. This time is kapha period because the entire day is classified into three. The morning is vata, the afternoon is pitta, evening is kapha. So during kapha period, again you take another ingredient which increases kapha. So there is a double kapha. And accordingly, there is a coat in our intestines. Next day morning, you don't have proper bowel movement. All these problems are there. That is the reason they prevented us from taking curds. Once or twice in a week, that is okay. But become habitual is a problem. and then a curd is to be taken. It should be mixed with ghee, sugar, or the gooseberry, or the green gram soup. Then these are the things that are prescribed. If at all, you cannot avoid curds at night. You can just try it out, because this straight away taken from the Samhita, and this is we can even experiment on this. Maybe you are asking about this thing. Probably, why don't you just try it out? Because there is no harm. There are no side effects of these things.
Sir, is curds different from buttermilk?
Definitely. Now I have a thing on buttermilk. Sorry, sir. That is why earlier we discussed about desha satya. Desha is also important in this place. If it has become habitual, probably you are forced to take that. That is one thing. Yeah. And I have seen in Kolkata sometime back, they put rasgulla in curds and they eat. That is something very interesting for me. In our place, we don't. And without curds or buttermilk, our meal is not complete also. So here, it's about buttermilk, which pasteurizes the vata, and also increases the digestive capacity in the body, and kapha also, along with the vata. And stiffness of the joints happens when you can administer the, certain preparation made up of buttermilk. And there are several methods. 50-50, 60-40, 30-70, the water and the buttermilk proportions. Accordingly, the quality changes. And you may not believe me, the quality is so, inherent that the layer on the ghee, you must have seen, there is a layer actually covers up on the ghee. That layer has a different quality than the ghee itself. So all that depends. Now, buttermilk can be... where it is? Suppression of your, suppression is actually, I was telling about natural urges. When you suppress your urine, and there is a blockage in your urinary tract, and you have to administer buttermilk, then it releases all this. It removes the toxicity in the body. Exactly. Oh, yes. It can be taken at night, not in fact suggested, because the dadhi, the curds and the buttermilk both have the hot potency, which is ushna viryam. Both have the same potency. Night actually kapha is increasing, so there is a viruddha quality is happening. But buttermilk is better than curds all the time. Buttermilk never coats our intestines, whereas curd does. That is the basic difference between these two things. Curd with black pepper powder is suggested. Curd with, that is what they were telling, gooseberry. Curd with sugar. In North India, we see this, they use a lot of curds with salt. Salt is also okay. Curd with jaggery, exactly. Yes, curd with jaggery is the best, because jaggery promotes the pitta quality in the body. Digestive fire is actually, promoted. And this is about consumption of water. I would like to ask, how many of you consume water before food? Oh, lot of you are there. I think you should go through this passage. Samasthula kushaha bhakta madhyanta prathamambupaha. What happens is, there is an etiquette of consuming water during taking meal. This is about when you are consuming food, water is taken before meal, you become sama sthula kushaha bhakta madhyanta pradhamambupaha. What this says is, you become lean when you take water before meal. You will be emaciating. When you consume water before meal, just immediately before meal you are consuming water, you are drinking water, it makes you lean. You will be emaciating. During the meal, when you consume water, when you drink water, what happens is, sama is there. Sama. you become moderate frame. Neither you are lean, neither you are bulky. And when you consume water at the end of the meal, you become bulky. It is not happening one day or 1 month or 1 year. When you become habitual, then all these problems occur. So this is very, very important thing. The water that is consumed during the meal is considered to be amrita, whereas before and after meal is not suggested. I have my own case. For 6 years back, I used to suffer a lot with gastritis. One of the doctors from Kerala suggested me, don't take water 1 hour before your meal. Only after 1 hour after meal, you consume water. I have been practicing even today. I am very happy. That is my nature. That is my prakriti. So that cannot be avoided. Because something that is genetic. 1 to 1.5 hours. The moderate time is 1 to 1.5 hours. Not right before meal. That is not at all suggested. Maybe this will be a very good study, research item for the researchers. Anybody can work on this. Exactly, sir. You are right. The thing is, when you are eating food, the digestive juices are getting, generated. When you are pouring water on that, what happens is, there is the logic they are telling. And stomach is divided into three parts. First part is meant for the food, second part is for the water, third part is meant for the passage of the air. Most of us, what we do, two parts we fill with the food, one part with the remaining with the water, and there is no movement of the air. Pranavayu is not going inside, and you are suffering with a lot of digestive problems. That is okay. Water in the sense, not a big quantity, maybe little quantity is okay. There is a bindu cannot be taken anyway, maybe 50 ml, 100 ml, that is okay. The thing is, again, this is an, maybe there could be exceptional cases, which we call as satmya or habitual. For some people, even drinking water before meal may feel good. For some others, after the meal, it makes them happy. But it is a generalized sense of what they are telling is. In that case, I think some exceptional cases are there. We need to look into those things. But this is a generalized idea they prescribe here. So this is about the three parts of the body when you consume. And it is a diet regimen. So I would like to ask these things. I don't comment on this. Why they say this? Without wearing precious stones, you should not eat. You just think about that. You have to answer now. Then, without taking bath, this is a bad habit. Most of us does. Most of us. Am I right? Without taking bath. Because you have to clean your bowels. Then you take bath. Because bathing gives you strength. In Ayurveda, they say that. Balam. But vachasyam, all these kind of qualities are there when you take bath. Then only go for taking food. Before evening or morning, both times, you have to take clean off your bowels, take bath, then eat food. Not possible to take bath in evening, forget about that. But cleaning of bowels is very much important. And without chanting mantras, for some, this is okay. Like Shanti Mantras we do while eating food. Then without praying God, all of us do. Then without offering to forefathers, teachers, guests and dependents, in foreign countries you have to ask their permission. Next week I am going to your house. Can I have lunch with you? You are granted. Whereas in our country, we say Atithi Devo Bhava. We give food to others first, then we eat. This is the culture of this country. And that is how we say, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Achara Devo Bhava. This is our culture. We never bother about the etiquette of, or the protocols of the things that are being followed in Western countries. Okay. Then without applying, I think there is some alignment problem is there. Without applying? Okay. The missing part is without applying scents, perfumes. This is, I'm leaving it to you. Then without washing hands and feet, face, without clearing mouth, without concentration, that is already we have discussed, surrounded by bad, dirty, hungry people, which has an impact on our mind. Then without abusing others, this happens in our offices, right? Any question? Probably you are angry and you are abusing others, you are eating. अपने आप कुछ बोल रहे हैं, दूसरों को गाली दे रहे हैं.
हेलो.
नहीं नहीं, फूड इज नॉट बीइंग अब्यूज्ड.
एक्सक्यूज मी सर.
या
सर, यू हैव रिटन हियर वन शुड नॉट टेक फूड विदाउट अब्यूजिंग अदर्स.
मेबी देयर इज, या देयर इज अ प्रॉब्लम इन द फ्रेज. इनफैक्ट वाइल्ड
नॉट. एक चीज पूछनी थी, B12 के लिए जैसे उन्होंने पूछा था
जी, जी.
तो स्प्राउट्स का मैं जानती हूँ और मैं भी वेजिटेरियन हूँ, तो
जी.
दूसरा और क्या सोर्स है हमारा B12 के लिए? जैसे आजकल B12 की डेफिशिएंसी मैक्सिमम लोगों को है.
करेक्ट करेक्ट करेक्ट.
कैन यू सजेस्ट सम टिप्स?
या
सर, लेकिन मेरी वात प्रकृति है तो मैं चावल खाती हूँ तो सूट नहीं करता.
Yeah, you're right. Brother Balaji was telling, he's right. But,
sir,
he gives a lot of starch and fiber.
Sir, my body is my body, so chawal suit nahi karta.
Ji.
And I avoid rice.
Exactly. So that is a good habit. In fact, that water is being
so given. That's why I am asking for another source of B12.
Maybe I need to explore more, but what he has given is a good example.
Thank you, sir.
At present, I could not able to recall.
Definitely an issue for vegetarians. One second. You can. Just give me a second. I want to ask others, are you okay in extending by few more minutes? Because he's going to have a couple of more slides, if I understand right. And we all have to be here by 4:20. Because 4:30 Suraj Bhai is going to begin. So we have to be here by 4:20. So is that okay? So you can meet him after the session. That would be better. Questions can be taken later, but let him complete.
Yeah.
Prasadji, you please complete.
Sure.
Just
sure.
One second.
Yeah, when offered by enemies, this also I would like to emphasize. Our second Prime Minister, Lal Bahadur Shastri ji, we know what happened to him. And recently there is a movie, Tashkent Files, and this is true in the sense. And what causes indigestion, drinking water in excess? That we need to decide how much water we need, our body requires. Accordingly, we have to consume. Then eating dry substances, which is called ruksha in Ayurveda. Then tissue loss. Tissues are dhatus in Ayurveda. The rasa, rakta, mamsa kind of things. Then day sleep. This is called divaswapa. Then also ratri jagrana, wakefulness during the night. Then also suppression of natural urges. Again and again is coming. So we should not ignore all these things, which in fact causes the indigestion to us. But what about the burinazar? There is a sloka. Annam brahma raso vishnu bhokta devo maheshwaraha. It is sanchintya bhunjanam drishti dosho nabathate. Annam is brahma. Raso vishnu. The thing that is being eaten is in fact vishnu. Bhokta devo maheshwaraha. The eater himself is the maheshwara. It is sanchintya bhunjanam, the one who thinks like that and eats, consume food. Drishti dosho na badhate, that buri nazar cannot affect that person. These are the shastra. And diet during the summer, now the season is going on. In summer, you have to consume sweet, cold, anchovies and liquid. There is a spelling mistake. Liquid food. Then the ghee, milk and rice. Milk and rice together. Milk and rice, it gives a lot of, you know, benefits. In Chandogya Upanishad, it is said that milk, ghee and rice, eaten by a conceived lady, gives birth to a very good progeny. And it will be white in complexion, they are very scholarly. All these kind of qualities have been described in Chandogya Upanishad. So there's a greater science behind those things also. We need to look into more than strictly no alcohol. Let us refrain from harsh speech we do in offices most of the times. Then extremely this backbiting, lying, use of untimely words, and it should not cause violence to others. This is in fact a trikaranam, vacha, manasa and karmana. These things are there. Then urges relating to physical actions such as the adultery, then the theft and the persecution. So you know, Ekadashi day we do upavasa. Nowadays this autophagy is getting attention by the medical community, and 2016, what is his name, Vishnuri Osumi, he got the Nobel Prize in this. But this is a very ancient concept. We have been prescribing this method for ages and ages together. Ekadashi, you have to be on fast, and this is the reason. Now scientifically it is getting proven. And upavurtasya papebhya, this is the shloka. Ultimately, this is what Charaka says. The virtuous one who is free from all vices relating to mind, speech and physical actions is indeed happy, and he alone enjoys the fruits of Trivarga. Trivarga are the dharma, artha and kama. Anyway, the fourth one is the ultimate goal of everybody, all of us. So in order to get those Trivarga, you should be pure in thinking, speaking and committing actions. This is how our ancient acharyas given us the wisdom with regard to all these things, with regard to health, with regard to thought process. Food has a greater role and has an impact on our thought process and thinking faculty. So this is how the things have been narrated in the ancient shastras. Let us try to explore wherever it has a contemporary relevance. Thank you very much for listening to me patiently. And I thank Brother Balakishore ji for giving me this opportunity. And thank you very much.